A short warning before we start. This episode contains some scary and possibly disturbing content. I have tried to keep the details vague and mild in case it is played in the vicinity of small children, but as it is spooky season, some of the episodes from now until Christmas may feature some darker themes. Concerned parents should listen to the episodes before sharing them with their children. You have been warned. And I have very different taste in movies and TV shows. He loves historic war docudramas and practical entertainment that show how something is made or its history, like American Pickers or Pawn Stars or, appropriately enough, How It's Made. I tend to like Downton Abbey, anime, and anything Disney made before 10 or 15 years ago. This makes it a special treat when we both enjoy a form of entertainment. We both love Forged in Fire, Everyone Loves Raymond, Frasier, and surprisingly enough, the live adaptation of One Piece. There are a couple reasons why this is so surprising. One is that my husband is not a fan of anime or manga. The artistic style is so different from our Western style of animation that it's difficult for him to suspend his disbelief and get absorbed into the story, so the live-action version gave him a chance to experience this story that has been a part of pop culture for 25 years. For me, the reason was less artistic and more primal. You may recall, I said I like anime, and I've been a big fan of Naruto and a Fairweather fan of Bleach for a while, so I was a little familiar with Shonen Jump Manga, the company that released these comics on a weekly basis. Leafing through the glossy pages at my local library, it was impossible to miss the images from One Piece on my way to Naruto. So, why didn't I just read it? Simple. In the images, next to the beautiful Nami and grinning Luffy, was often one of their most famous on-again-off-again villains, Buggy the Clown. Now, I won't say that I have a true phobia of clowns. I can go to the circus without running away in terror. I even dressed as one for Halloween once and posted a picture a few episodes ago. But they make me uncomfortable. In the same way that the camera may linger on a China doll in a horror movie, even when the movie has nothing to do with dolls, as a source of horror, the image still strikes me. If this character had been a one-off villain, I probably would have read the comic years ago since my brother described it as a fun, silly, treasure-hunting adventure. Normally, that would be right up my alley, but the clown kept coming back, on cover after cover, and I decided the story wasn't for me without ever having read a frame. The cover art was enough. A clown here and there is fine, but I had no desire to live with one. And based on what happened in 2016, I'm not alone. Apparently, people used to hire clowns to entertain at children's birthday parties. I don't know anyone my age who would have enjoyed this, as discomfort with clowns seems to be pretty common among my peers. Clowns paint their faces into exaggerated proportions of human facial features. This messes with our innate tendency to seek out patterns, especially facial patterns, around us. The connection between our eyes and brains tells us that something is wrong with the seemingly human image. Our instincts cry out that what we're seeing isn't right or isn't real, and we have fallen into what is called the uncanny valley. This same uneasy feeling can be triggered by dolls or even bad CGI. We sense that we're being tricked, and what we're looking at is trying to make us think that it's human, and despite its best efforts, our gut instincts remind us that it is definitely not. As adults, we know that this is silly because beneath the distorted makeup is an actual human being, but the overlay of the exaggerated facial makeup on top of the familiarity of an actual human face is still a little off-putting. It's like that moment in The Shining novel by Stephen King where young Danny Torrance realizes that the Overlook Hotel has completely possessed his father. Jack is gone, and the darkness in the hotel is simply wearing the face of someone that Danny loves to draw him in. It's hard for us to separate what things look like and what they are like. And speaking of Stephen King, many credit him with creating the definitive creep with what might be his most iconic character, Pennywise the Dancing Clown. The cosmic monster takes on the form of a clown who rampages through the town of Derry, Maine, as a serial killer who especially enjoys preying on children. Especially, young boys. Many people cite this character as the origin of their own fear of clowns. The creature was perfectly written to prey on each of the individual fears of his victims, changing and distorting to draw out the most horror. It was very effective. King knew, when writing the monster, that he wanted to create something that would stand out, and chose the clown because he said that all kids are scared of clowns. This suggests that this fear predates the novel. King himself credits the potency of this fear to Tim Curry's portrayal of Pennywise, but you made the killer clown, dude. You know you wanted him to be scary. You knew what you were doing. I love when people act like the results of what they've done has nothing to do with the fact that they're the one who did it. I don't know. It just kind of cracks me up. Anyway, citing his earlier quote about children already being afraid of clowns, our next suspect for originating this fear predates King's novel by 6 years, and many suspect this to be the novel's inspiration, John Wayne Gacy. Gacy spent 1972 to 1978 violating and killing young men and boys. He was convicted of 33 murders, and though he denied the murders and his attraction to young men, some theorize that his criminal activity may have been more prolific than we know. Outside of his primary hobby, he also liked to dress up as a clown that he would call Patches, or more famously, Pogo the Clown, for fundraisers and other community activities. He was once heard telling a friend that when you're dressed up as a clown, people will treat you differently, and that you can get away with anything, no matter how terrible, if you had a big grin plastered onto your face with makeup. While in prison, awaiting the death sentence to be carried out for 14 years, Gacy would paint self-portraits of his clown alter ego and sell them. From using others for his own pleasure, or profiting off his own story, or even painting massive pictures of his favorite person, himself, Gacy was deeply narcissistic until his very end. But Nikki, you must be saying, I get that you're creeped out by clowns, and I get that there are probably all kinds of ways that you could rationalize that, but what does that have to do with the South? Well, my delightfully deductive listener, here it is. In 2016, a young boy was playing outside near his home in a low-income apartment complex when he spotted something unusual in the bushes. Two clowns were half-hidden and staring straight at him. They beckoned to him, whispering and waving handfuls of cash to draw the boy further and further from home and into the woods. This first sighting sparked a fire, and clowns began to appear all over the country, many of whom appeared to be laser-focused on children and luring them into their clutches. As the problem spread all over the country and beyond, towns and whole counties canceled trick-or-treat that year. The media and the World Clown Organization both spoke up to denounce the clown activity. The frenzy reached a climax when on October 31, 2016, a family was attacked by 20 people in clown masks. And where did this all start? The first little boy approached by the 2016 clown uprising lived in Greenville, South Carolina, which makes this very state ground zero for the crazy turn of events. Clowns can be hard to understand. They operate outside of the norm and they defy social expectations. Their unpredictability throws us for a loop and makes us view them with a little more caution than we do others. Perhaps there's a reason for this. After all, America's fear of clowns didn't begin with John Wayne Gacy. The DC Comics character The Joker debuted on April 25, 1940, predating both Pennywise and Gacy. People have had a looming discomfort for clowns for a very long time, and it looks like this sentiment isn't going away anytime soon. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and a special thanks to Lee for sponsoring the show. Just a reminder that for spooky season, the show may feature a few episodes that are a bit creepier than usual, so if you usually listen with kids, maybe preview these episodes first, and make sure that we aren't spreading any more nightmare fuel to little ones than, you know, they aren't ready for. Thanks again, and have a beautiful weekend.